Once again, Matthew 27, beginning at verse 34. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Scripture tonight. We are endeavoring to understand it better, to come to have an even greater level of confidence and trust in the Bible as your holy word. And we pray that you would bless this study tonight for that purpose, that we would come away from this time not with confusion, but with clarity of mind, not with doubt, but with strong faith in your word. I pray that for myself and all those who are here tonight, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been looking at alleged contradictions in Scripture, and we've come to the Gospels to consider those areas of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in particular, although we will include John. The Gospels in particular, we are now considering those places where people allege that there are contradictions. And so last time we looked at a number of different things that confuse people or people raise objections to when they read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we cleared away some of those things as not valid objections, as not valid contradictions. They're alleged contradictions, but they're not real contradictions. Things like, for example, Matthew omits something that Mark includes, or Luke omits something that Matthew includes. That's not a contradiction. These are two different accounts written from different perspectives, although both inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, but they include and or omit certain details that the others, you know, may not add or may have. When you put them all together, you get the total picture. And that's why on Sunday mornings, as we go through Matthew, I will reach over to Mark, or I'll reach over to Luke in order to fill out the picture of the story. These things aren't contradictions. Again, they complement one another. Or we looked at some differences in language, that sometimes they'll word things slightly differently. And that's not a contradiction. It's no contradiction if things are worded slightly differently. And we're going to look at an example, another specific example of that tonight in the first example that we look at. And we looked at things like that. So I won't go through all of those again, but we listed some examples of things that people will read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, this is a contradiction. But these things are not contradictions. So now tonight we want to look at another couple of specific examples of areas in the Gospels where people allege contradictions. And as I told you last week, the Gospels are one of the prime targets for critics of the Bible. Critics of the Bible will look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in particular and focus their attack there and say that the differences between the accounts are actually contradictions and therefore we can't trust the Word of God. So you may ask yourself, Pastor Nick, why are we doing this on Wednesday night? Is this really important? Is this really what we should spend our time on? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. We should spend our time on these things because we need to read our Bibles with faith, with confidence. And when other people bring objections, we need to have a reasonable answer for those objections. So tonight what we're going to look at is two examples. We're going to begin with the inscription that's over the cross that we just read about in Matthew 27:37. All four Gospels record what was written over Jesus' head on the cross, nailed to the cross above his head. That's the crucifixion inscription. So we're going to look at those four accounts and talk about why they're different and why that's not a contradiction. Then we're going to look at Peter's denials of the Lord Jesus. This is another famous example in the Gospels of things that people look at and say, wait a second, there are differences here and we don't see how these things can be reconciled, so this must be a contradiction. So we're going to look at Peter's denials of Jesus and conclude why this is not a contradiction and think that through. Okay, let's begin now with Matthew 27. Matthew 27 here, we read the account of Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus is on the cross here, and as we said, this inscription is put on the cross over the head of Jesus. This was a practice by the Romans. They would put up basically the crime of the person, the crime that they had committed, that they were being crucified for. So this is the accusation, basically the crime that they are charging Jesus with and crucifying him for. Of course, it's ironic, isn't it? Because the statement on the inscription is true. Jesus is indeed the King of the Jews. He's the King of the Gentiles as well. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But our specific focus is, why are they different? Why do the four evangelists, the four gospel authors, list this inscription with slightly different verbiage? Okay, so what I did here is I just wrote out kind of a combination of all four gospels and how they list the inscription. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at each one of the gospel accounts and see how they differ. So here we start with Matthew chapter 27 and verse 37. And it says, "And set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Okay, so here in Matthew we've got this and this. So we have most of the statement there. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and verse 26. Mark 15, verse 26, "And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.'" Okay, so Mark only has this, this bottom portion, "The King of the Jews." Now let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 23 and verse 38. Luke chapter 23, verse 38. "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.'" So here Luke has, "This is the King of the Jews." Okay, now let's go to John. John 19. John 19 and verse 19. "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" Okay, so here in John, we've got Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Okay? Now, to anyone who reads all four accounts and is comparing them, depending upon your attitude and the attitude of your heart, you may say, I wonder why it's different. I wonder why the four gospel authors give this in slightly different verbiage. Now, for the critic, because of the attitude of his heart, he's quick to pounce on this and say, this is a contradiction. Look, the four gospels can't be trusted because they contradict one another on the matter of the inscription over the head of Jesus on the cross. So what shall we say to that? Okay, first of all, let's note the agreement. It's important that we do that, right? Because sometimes we get so distracted by people raising an objection to differences that we forget just how much agreement actually is there. What is the agreement? The agreement is that all four of them have, in some form or another, this: the King of the Jews. All four of them have that, without fail. Both in your English translation as well as in the Greek that underlies it. So don't forget that. We do have agreement here. And we've got four different authors in four different books, and they are agreed. Now, it would be one thing if Matthew said that the inscription said, this is Jesus, a local rabbi. And another gospel author said, this is Jesus, the king of the Jews. Then we'd have to figure out how to reconcile those two things. But that's not what it is, right? We've got agreement with the essence of the statement that's over the head of Jesus, that he is the king of the Jews. Okay, but why the reason for, or what is the reason behind the differences here? Well, one of the clues here is in the verse right after the one we just read, John 19, verse 20. The title, or this title, then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written, here we go, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Okay, so you have this inscription that's written over the head of Jesus, but it's in three different languages. And it's in three different languages so that all the people are able to read it, regardless of whether their language is Greek or Aramaic or whatever their language may be. They're able to read it because the inscription is written in three different languages. So one of the reasons why, most likely, that the inscription is different across all four Gospels, or slightly different, is because we're dealing with three different languages here. And we don't know for certain if Matthew was looking to perhaps the Latin or the Greek or the Aramaic or what particular language he may have been drawing his description from. Maybe one gospel author is looking at it, the inscription, from one language, and another is looking at it from the perspective of a different language, because all three languages are written on the inscription. Now, we know that, or hopefully you know, that when you are dealing with different languages, that the verbiage is going to be slightly different when you change from one language to another. And let's use as an example Spanish and English. Okay? If you've done anything at all with taking one language and translating it into another, you know that it's not always real nice, neat, and clean. Okay? So, for example, if you say, it is cold. And you want to translate that into Spanish. What's the Spanish translation? Or, hace frío. Okay, now what's the initial difference you see here? We say it's two different languages, Pastor. Yes, I know that. Okay, after that, well, how many words do you have up here? You've got three words, and you've got two words down here. So you've got a difference already. But if you were to translate hace frío literally, do you come up with it is cold? No, not exactly. But it essentially means that, even though it literally doesn't mean that. Something like, I have cold, but the meaning is it is cold. Okay, that's just an illustration to show you that when you translate from one language to another, you're going to have some differences. You're going to have some slight differences in verbiage, the number of words, and that sort of thing. Okay, so that is, we believe, partially the reason why these inscriptions are different. But in addition to that, number two, the reason they're different is because, again, we're dealing with something we talked about last week and we touched on again a moment ago, and that is omissions and additions. We have, in all four of these, some authors kind of giving a certain part of the inscription while others are giving a broader portion of the inscription. So we've got, for example, again, in Matthew, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. In Mark, the King of the Jews. Is it a contradiction for Mark to leave out this is? Or simply say, the King of the Jews? No, it's not a contradiction at all. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not necessarily trying to give us in absolute precise terminology in each and every case exactly what the inscription said. It may be that that is found in John 19, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Whereas the other gospel authors are going to omit some of that and give us the essence of it. Give us the essence of the inscription or only a part of the inscription, like the King of the Jews. So that's not a contradiction. That's simply a different way of describing it. Now, we're used to many times in the scientific and technological age in which we live to certain standards of precision in how we report things or how we give things out in terms of information. But that's not necessarily the case in the ancient world. Okay, and it's okay. It's not an error. It's not a contradiction for one author to give part of it and another author to give kind of a fuller portion of it, or the complete description, in this case, of the inscription. Let me give you another example. Moses Cone Hospital in Greensboro. How many different ways are there to refer to Moses Cone Hospital in Greensboro? See, I don't know. I've never been to Greensboro. Okay. Well, let me give you some examples. And Dina, you can help me if I miss one. Okay, Moses Cone Hospital. Moses Cone. Leave the hospital out. Cone Hospital. Or Cone. If you talk to people in Greensboro, they'll use all of those. And sometimes use them in the same sentence. Say, well, we're going to go to Moses Cone Hospital, or it's over near Cone, or something like that. Do people in Greensboro know what you're talking about? Well, of course. It's not an error or a contradiction for one person to say Moses Cone Hospital and another person to simply refer to it as Cone. We do this in everyday life, and the gospel authors can do that as well without error or contradiction. Okay, so I hope that's helpful in that example. Let's move on now to our second example, and this is Peter's denial. So let's go back to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, and we'll begin at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock or the rooster crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Okay, now we want to deal with Peter's denials of the Lord Jesus. As I said a moment ago, this is another one of those places where people will allege a contradiction. Okay, so now we need a bit of a grid up here. Let's do number of denials and number of rooster crows. Okay? And we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay. Here in Matthew, how many times did Jesus say Peter would deny his Lord? Three times. And he would do this before the rooster crowed. Okay, so Jesus only references one crowing of the rooster. All right, now let's go to Luke, and then we'll come back to Mark after we look at Luke and John. So Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22 and beginning verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Okay. So we'll leave a blank space for Mark here, and let's fill out Luke. How many denials? Three. And how many references to a rooster crowing? Just one. Okay, so Matthew and Luke are in agreement, right? All right, let's go to John now. John chapter 13. John 13 and beginning of verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Okay. So here we are with John. How many denials in John does Jesus predict? Three. How many rooster crows? One, right? Now, we won't go and read the actual events themselves. I won't make you turn to those, but we'll get to those here in just a moment. But now let's go back to Mark and let's see what Mark has to say. Mark 14. Mark 14, and beginning at verse 27. Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Okay? So now here we are in Peter. How many denials does Jesus say Peter will give? Three. How many rooster crows? Two. Okay, now, before we get to discussing the obvious difference here with this guy, let's first note the agreement. Is there any agreement here? Yes, absolutely. We've got four different authors penning a perspective, or penning their the story from their own perspective, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but from their unique angle, and we have great agreement, don't we? All of this is the same. And Matthew, Luke, and John are the same. The difference, obviously, is here with Peter. Jesus says in, or not Peter, Mark, Peter, of course, is the same person across all four accounts, right? There's agreement again. All right. Mark is where the difference is. Jesus says to Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice. And here's where the critic of the Bible attacks. Says, see, we've got a contradiction. Mark is against Matthew and Luke and John. Your Bible contradicts itself. What shall we say to that? All right. First of all, the first answer to this question, I believe, takes us back to something that we just talked about a second ago and we talked about last week, and that is omissions and additions. Okay, the four gospel authors do not all give us the exact same information in every single instance. Is it a contradiction for Matthew, Luke, MLJ. My writing gets worse the older I get. Is it a contradiction for Matthew, Luke, and John to omit one of these? No, it's not. Now, people will jump to that conclusion and say, well, that's a contradiction. But no, it's not for Matthew, Luke, and John to simply not mention this other rooster crowing. And hopefully I'll show you why this is in just a moment. But let's just note that right off the bat, that it's not a contradiction for them to only mention the rooster crowing the one time. And we'll show why that is here in a second. But that's not a contradiction. Okay? Now, let's think about an important cultural aspect here. Okay, so keep that in your mind because I'm going to erase that. Now your question is, okay, Pastor Nick, you said it's not a contradiction, but why is it different? Why does Mark have two rooster crowings and the others only have one? And I believe the answer takes us back to an important bit of cultural context. What do we mean by cultural context? Some aspect of first century life that is no longer the same. We don't think the same way. Now things are different. And so we've got to enter into the culture of the first century in order to seek to understand what is being referred to. In the first century world, the Romans divided the evening into four watches, into four distinct periods of time. So let's put these periods of time up here. And in order to see this, let's turn just a chapter back in Mark to Mark 13. Mark 13 and verse 35. This is obviously a different place, but this will illustrate for you what we are getting ready to put up on the board. Mark 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, Jesus says, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Okay, so you see four distinct periods of time there. The first is the evening. The second, is midnight. The third, interestingly enough, is what? The rooster crowing. And the fourth is the morning. Okay, now what is that? Now, in first century life, and according to the way the Romans structured the time periods, evening is 6 to 9 p.m. Okay, so when someone talked about the evening, they're talking about 6 to 9 p.m. When they mention midnight, that's 9 to 12 midnight. When Jesus refers to the rooster crowing, that's 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then the morning is 3 to 6, right? Okay, so we've got the night, if you will, broken into these four different parts. Now, this is important because it's going to help us understand why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are different when Mark says, has Jesus saying, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times, whereas the other evangelists only say, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Why the difference? The difference is because Matthew, Luke, and John are referring to what? Which one of these do you think they're referring to? Referring to this right here, this time period. So basically, in Matthew, Luke, and John, Jesus is saying, before this time period is up, you're going to deny me three times. Whereas in Mark, he says that Peter's going to deny him three times before the rooster crows twice, meaning the rooster, the final crowing of the rooster is where? It's here, in this time period. Is the rooster going to crow prior to this? Yes, he is. The rooster is going to crow prior to this, but this is the final one, if you will, that signals the end of the night. Right, the time right before daybreak. Okay, so Mark has two rooster crowings. The last one is here. Matthew, Luke, and John only refer to this guy. And they don't mention the previous one. Okay, hopefully that's clear. Maybe that's clear as mud. Let's use a different illustration, maybe, to help us understand this. Let's say that a person who is not a basketball person is listening to two basketball people talk about a basketball game. Okay? Any non-sports people here? Yep. Okay. We've got a few. So you understand that, right? You're listening to sports people talk and you're like, I don't know what you people are talking about. So you're listening in on this conversation and they mention that the game went down to the buzzer. Right? You're like, what does that mean? Game went down to the buzzer. Well, the two people talking know what they're talking about. What are they talking about, sports fans out there? When someone says the game went down to the buzzer, what are they saying? Yeah. Yeah, at the very end, because you've got a, let's say you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 quarters. Is that what it is in basketball? I forget. What is it? It's first half, second half, isn't it? Pros four, right? Okay. All right, what buzzer are they talking about? They're talking about the buzzer at the end of this, right? Now, let's say this person went to watch the game. They're like, okay, I want to understand this better. The guys were talking about this team versus that team, and they said it went down to the buzzer. So they play the rerun on their TV of this game. How many buzzers are they going to hear throughout that game? A lot. There's going to be a lot of buzzers. There's going to be a buzzer at a timeout here. There's going to be a buzzer at the end of the first period. There's going to be a buzzer here at another timeout. Another buzzer here. A buzzer. There's probably a zillion buzzers. You know, the horn sounds. And this person is totally confused. They're like, how can you say it went down to the buzzer? There's a zillion buzzers throughout the whole game. Well, that person doesn't understand the cultural context of the sport, right? These two sports fans, they know what they're talking about. They're talking about this. They're talking about this last and final buzzer that indicates the end of the game. But because the other person doesn't have that knowledge, that experience and that context to understand that, they're confused by all these different buzzers. And they might come back to the people and be like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I watched that game and there were like 16 buzzers throughout the game. What is going on? And those two people will pat that person on the head and say, no, let me explain it to you. Here's how it works. You got different buzzers signaling the end of different things. We were talking about this guy. Okay? So Matthew, Luke, and John refer to the final buzzer, the final rooster crowing that signaled the end of that particular period, that 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. period. They do not mention the previous one over here, back here. But Mark does. Does that make for a contradiction? No, it does not. It is a different way of describing it, but it is not contradictory. When you understand the total context of the situation, then you can understand that all four evangelists are complementary to one another. Now, when we come to things like this in Scripture, It's important that we try to work hard to understand them, even though it may be difficult at times. And perhaps this one was difficult for you. Perhaps it makes your head spin, and perhaps, you know, we should explain it, or I should explain it better. But it can be difficult. But what we do, again, is we trust the Lord, right? What we don't do is we don't look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and say, well, I don't get how all this fits together, so therefore it must be wrong. It must be contradictory. There must be a mistake here somewhere. That is the conclusion that the unbelieving mind jumps to. But this should be our attitude instead. These are the words of Origen, the early church father. A person becomes a peacemaker when he demonstrates that the things that appear to others to be a conflict in the scriptures are actually no conflict at all. He demonstrates their harmony and peace, whether of the old scriptures with the new, or of the law of the prophets, or of the gospels with the apostolic scriptures, or of the apostolic scriptures with each other. For he knows that all scripture is the one perfect and harmonized instrument of God, from which different sounds give forth one saving voice to those who are willing to learn. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do. They come at things from a different angle, from a different perspective. They may list things or give things slightly differently, but those are for the purpose of complement, not for contradiction. And so hopefully you will read the four Gospels, not as contradicting one another, but as, yes, containing slightly different information, but for the purpose of giving you the total and full picture.